of them is with page R2 of Article 2, which is the Reading Core Language and the Early Childhood Literacy Program,
right,
and kind of look at those programs. There's some additional language we just want to point out on page R10 regarding a report.
Excuse me, Mr. Saltzman. Yes. Could the conversation be tamed down or out in the hall? I can hear
it. Yes, very good.
You know, we'd like to start the next group, so if people can take their conversations outside, we appreciate it. We're just kind of tightly scheduled in this room, so
very
people
good.
Can talk outside the room or whisper. We'd appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, we were just saying that we're going to be talking about language on page R2 and R3 of Article 2, and in that same section on page R11, we'd like to point out just something else that is in the Senate bill. Then we would like to move to talking about the language. There are two pieces where we have similarities regarding the establishment of the Minnesota Reading Center with the St. Croix Regional Education District. But we also want to talk about the policy language on page R50 and page R51 and provide an update on some work that's been done in that area. So if you're okay with that sort of agenda, Representative Slawick, should we start with the Reading Corps and the Early Literacy Initiative that is in the House bill and just kind of share what we're doing with both of those?
Well, Senator Saltzman, I guess I would be okay with starting with that. One thing that was unclear to me when we established these work groups is whether we're taking testimony and kind of what right. we're going into. Do you have people that are going to testify?
The only people who are coming today who may be here is that we've done some work on some of the RTI policy language. And that's more to explain what's been done with that.
Okay.
And that is Deputy Commissioner Anderson, and perhaps Mr. Melcher is here as well. So I don't know if you want to start with them or start with some of this other.
We could start with that. Our position in the House is one thing that we do have a difference on, and to acknowledge is the Reading Corps program versus the Wordsworth program. And really, it's almost an age difference. The Wordsworth program is something we're interested in at the Head Start level, so for early childhood, and I think you all are interested more even for that and above. So
right.
if we need to talk more about what each program does, or I'm not sure how much okay. you want to get into that. But.
Well, the RTI language doesn't have to do with the Reading right. Corps versus that, but it is policy related to how we may be able to comply with some of the things that are happening at the federal level. So do you okay. want to start with that sort of more
we can start with
overall
that.
Policy?
We understand that that was quite different in language we had not right. seen before. So what page is that on?
Okay, it's on page R50 and R51. And actually, the language was the same language that was in Representative Faust's bill okay. that funds the Reading Corps. It is the policy language that was in that same bill, which I believe you had testimony on when you went up to this to the St. Croix River Education District. Did you, maybe not early childhood, but did the K-12 committee hear testimony on that?
K-12 finance heard
right.
testimony
K-12
on that.
Finance, I believe, has heard testimony from SCRED on RTI.
I did talk. I know that they went up and did have testimony, and I also did talk to Representative Faustin. He believes that the language is okay, but wanted to double-check on that.
So let's talk about the new language. Okay. If maybe Deputy Commissioner Anderson and Dr. Melcher could come up. And let me just give you a little bit of background on this, on RTI. Prior to this election, I worked with a number of different groups and looking at what can we do in terms of funding special ed, and then also Dr. Trulina is here as well from the department. We talked about what can we do in terms of, you know, funding our commitment to special ed, but you know, at the same time reforming the way we are delivering services so that we can begin to perhaps you know, address the needs of students who are misdiagnosed, who have reading disabilities as opposed to really special education needs. And there's been a lot of research done related to that, and I think we have some other handouts here. And do you have these with RTI that kind of give some background on this as a national trend of instead of waiting for children to fail and waiting the 2 years for them to fail and qualify for special education is being able to start to work with kids, identifying them probably in kindergarten or even earlier. And so if we can identify them and start earlier intervention And again, the research is showing that if we use scientific research-based reading programs and using this whole progressive monitoring, which is where a child is identified, and then they are put into an appropriate reading group. They are using specific reading interventions that have proven to be successful, and then they are continuously monitored, like every week or two, giving a very simple reading test where they actually read. It's a one-minute test. It tends to be a one-minute test developed at the U of M, and the kids' progress is charted. And then maybe once a month, the teachers will all get together and be able to look at the child's progress, and based on their response, do they have a response to the intervention? That's where the name comes from. If they had a response, then maybe continue with that specific intervention, maybe change something.
Senator Saltzman, I'll ask, we're just trying to work with council on this too. What age, how are you structuring this within the school system, and what age?
We're looking at this in terms of if a student, now this model is used with the Reading Corps, which works with kids in Head Start. This particular language works with students in a public school, probably beginning in grade K.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you some new language, and you have a draft here, and I'd like to work off of this draft. And this has been a work in progress. This comes off of some of the language in the last renewal of IDEA, and so we're trying to work with some of the new rulemaking that came out of there. The original bill was amended in committee, and then we have this new language which came out. And do you have that?
It says
ME 42707. I've worked with the department. I've worked with some of the people who are with the Minnesota Association of Special Educators to try to come up with language that meets our goal but also meets with the department's needs. And we've looked at other states, and we're really trying to craft legislation that we're finding very difficult to find it in other areas, because other states are trying to come to grips with how to put this, you know, into statute. So at this time, perhaps, if that's appropriate, to call on whomever would like to speak from the department on some of what you've done, maybe with the original language, and what we're trying to do here would be very helpful.
Senator Saltzman and Representative Slawik, Senator Wieger, the draft that you see, the 427 draft, is starting with the language from the Senate bill, and then making some adjustments that the department felt were necessary to better align this with IDEA.
Mr. Melcher, I'm sorry. Senator Saltzman, do we do new language in conference committees? I can't remember. Do we just strip things and do... I thought we had to go off existing language.
Or
language that was introduced.
Right. These, I believe, are minor changes. What we try to do with this is we try to use consistency in changing some words. Where one place we called it RTI, another place we called it something else. So we tried to clean it up to make sure that it was doing what it needed to do, and just tried to tighten up some of the language. And actually, we dropped a couple pieces that we felt maybe, and I think maybe if they can explain this.
Okay.
So it's not changing at all the intent. It's making sure that we have that we do something that later on we're not going to, I guess, get in trouble for, because it wasn't clear. And this is something that the original bill was sort of a work in progress. And this is just trying to tighten up the language that was there.
And Senator Saltzman, I'm open to that, and I'm glad Representative Fritz is here, but I just want to make sure then if the House needs some tightening up, mm-hmm. or some adjusting of our language, that you are open to that as well.
I think I've seen that happen during the conference committee already, where we have come up with some language that wasn't the same language. I think there was some issues with the School Board Association, where I think we asked Ms. Larson to go out and work on some new language, and I don't think the Senate opposed that at all. I think if we're really trying to create the best policy here, I hope we're open to doing that. If either side raises questions, I think we've already done that, and if we haven't, I apologize. But we've done that, I think, several times already.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Melcher.
Madam Chair, if it would be helpful, we can certainly compare kind of on a line-by-line basis where the department is suggesting changes from the from the Senate language.
Very good. Thank you.
We've got
thank
the old
much.
Or the existing Senate language from page 41, line 24 in your bill, and then the draft. And I can just start by just in the title section. The original title was relating to early intervening to make adequate yearly progress required, and we thought we suggested to shortening this up to align with a federal statute in the similar area, which would be just simply to call it early intervening services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a change in the title. The next change would be on line 41, or page 41, line 30 of the Senate language, which refers to scientifically based instruction in reading. And as we looked at the terminology, there were several different terms being used, and we thought it was appropriate to use one consistent term throughout, and the department came up with scientific research-based instruction and intervention as a kind of a term that could be used in many of these places. And also, because this particular piece is used for students that are being diagnosed for special education services in a wide variety of areas, not just students that have a reading issue, we felt it was appropriate to not limit this to reading, but to insert language referring to academics and behavior. In other words, the full spectrum of areas where a student might be identified as needing special education services. So that's a change from the Senate language as well.
Excuse me, Mr. Melcher. Mm-hmm. Senator Salzman, staff has asked me to have a minute to look at the language and so we can translate it. I mean, there's two ways we can do it, or we could have you talk about it and then and have staff ask some questions, or we need just a minute because having new language.
So to be clear, I received this morning as well. So I'm kind of getting briefed on this at the same time, and our staff is getting briefed as well.
Okay.
Because we've been working very hard to try to do some work as opposed to going over this and trying to do this in the 11th hour, is try to come up with this language. So to be very honest, our staff is getting briefed on this at the same time that your staff is also.
That's what I wonder. So why don't we have them do the briefing so we can understand it, but then we might need a little bit of time.
I don't anticipate we're going to find, all of what we need to know today, but maybe we'll need to work on this some more. Absolutely, Senator.
Okay.
Representative, yes, and Dr. Melcher.
Okay, so So far, we've had a change proposed in the title of the section to make it correspond to the comparable federal law and idea, and a change in terminology, again, to make that more consistent throughout, and then the reference specifically to reading in the Senate language is broadened to academics or behavior, because this is used not just for students that are having difficulties in reading, but students across the board. This is used across the board for identification of students going into special education.
Senator Salzman, Mr. Melcher, that is just this huge red flag to me, because we do have a problem with our young people and obviously behavior, and we know that that's an issue in our classrooms, and I guess we can come back to that, but adding behavior is a rather significant change, in my opinion. So why don't you proceed? But I see that as really big.
So perhaps, Representative, the original bill as introduced included reading, math, and behavior.
Okay.
And when we looked at our budget targets, we didn't have enough money to fund the centers in math and in behavior, and so we went to reading. And so we changed it at the time, the bill, to read interventions in reading, and that we shouldn't have done. We should have kept it, because even though we're funding a specific reading center, the language appears to all. So I think that's something we can certainly talk about. But just to be clear, that probably when you went to SCRED, they talked about all three of these areas.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the thing that I think is critical here from the department's perspective is that this is existing language that is used to have students enter into special education. And if we were to insert language dealing with reading only, we would be saying that before you can get into special education, for whatever reason, may have nothing to do with reading, that you have to be assessed specifically. These interventions need to be specifically in reading. So that would be a drastic narrowing of where we are currently, and we're trying to bring this back into consistency with the current practice. Otherwise, I think we would need an entirely different approach to this.
Right, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay, Dr. Melcher, please continue.
The next piece where there's a difference between the Senate language and what the department is proposing is on page 41, line 32, where the current Senate language reads, the pupil's teacher must provide the documentation and inserts new language, or the district may devise a problem-solving system to meet this requirement.
Could I get you to speak to that?
We're suggesting to take out that language and simply to say that the teacher would provide documentation of the results. And our special education director, Barb Trilling, can speak to that briefly.
Hi.
Hey, Dr. Trilling.
Thank you. Yes, we did talk a little bit about making this kind of keeping the old language but updating it with our early intervening services idea, regulation, new language, and putting the word in here of just documenting the results means that we would honor many different types of models or interventions, including this, and having the results documented seemed to be the most generic.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Melcher, and if you can, we're working off both your draft and the current language, so if you can help us work back and forth where the changes are in both.
Yes.
Thank you.
So the next change that the department is suggesting is on page 42, line 2, 3, and 4 of the Senate language, and the department is proposing deleting the language after evaluation so that we would be deleting except that a pupil's participation in a response to intervention system when conducted as part of a special education evaluation shall not be construed as a denial of the pupil's right to a special education assessment. I know that this was creating some concerns among advocacy groups, and Dr. Trilling may want to comment on this further.
Several of the parent and advocate groups were concerned that this might be a requirement before a special education evaluation. An IDEA does permit parents to request an evaluation at any time, so we didn't want to go against IDEA and say you'd have to do this first. More than likely, parents that are familiar with good systems as they develop will allow for some intervention to be tried, but in the chance that a parent would not want to do that, they do have the right to request an evaluation immediately, and so the confusing language was removed.
But on that point, just to clarify, too, school districts may use this system as a way to begin to assess a child, correct? And
they
if
may.
A student and if a student's parent is uncomfortable with that, they could request the traditional evaluation.
That is correct.
Okay, just wanted to clarify that. And that what we're hearing is that many parents who see this, it's beginning to work with the child, and when they see the improvement and the progress, they want to continue on this path with their children. That's been what we've been hearing from a lot of parents who are involved with this.
Can I center also on that point, Dr. Trilling? And, of course, I do have experience with the special education system from a personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. I had a child that was in it from the time of three, so been through this more on lots of how interventions are done and how they're done through the public school system. So when you talk about that you've worked with parent groups and parent groups who are concerned about this, since we're seeing this and we're learning for the first time, have any groups seen this new language? And is there a process for them seeing this and getting some feedback on this?
I had a meeting with a number of the parent groups that came in and talked with me. We talked about their concerns. I had a meeting to talk about this language. I invited the House to participate in that, and I believe the gentleman sitting behind you was at the meeting. I asked Representative Faust to work with me to be there for that meeting so we could start to work on this, and that was probably in the last 2 to 3 weeks. We've involved many of the different groups. The Dyslexia Association is extremely supportive of this. I think when we're all said and done with the language, I guess, to really look at, are we tightening things up? Are we making it more clear? Or are we really making different policy changes from what we talked about? And I don't see this as major policy changes from what we discussed, from what we had testimony on at all. It's basically clarifying and making very clear what the policy is. So I just want to...
If we could just get a thermometer or a barometer or a check somewhere along the way after today, I would appreciate it. I can talk with you about that, about who to check in with.
You know, absolutely. And I think the fact that this meeting was scheduled on Saturday at 9:30, I have people who I need to talk to, but I think it's a good starting point to find out where are our concerns, where are issues. You have a better understanding of what this is. Because we have heard testimony from the school superintendents are behind this, the Association of Special Educators. We had parents here testifying when it was heard in the Senate. We went up to SCRED. I've had a site visit. I've looked at this, and so we really have worked with a lot of groups, and actually the changes are as a result of some of their concerns.
Well, thank you, and it's good to know that. I mean, we're just trying to say sometimes what happens here at the legislature is we make changes in a draft or in a final version, and somebody catches something that they're opposed to. So I just want to make sure, and I know you've done a lot of work on this and recognize that, but just that at this endpoint as well, that it's still continues to be vetted and so forth.
And that's exactly what's happening today, is based on that feedback and based on those concerns, this is a result of all of that work, pretty much.
Thank you.
If I could just add that the change that the department is proposing on 42.2 through 42.4 is deleting new language. So we're going back to language that people are already comfortable with, that they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. The next change that the department is proposing is on page 42, line 9, and we're just taking out the term cross-gap categorical there. We thought that might be a bit confusing, and there is a reference down below to the staff involved in this being funded from several different funding sources, so we thought it wasn't necessary to include it there. It doesn't really change the meaning. We thought it might raise some confusion for people. The next change that the department is proposing is that page 42, line 12, includes, again, a reference to reading. Line 11, a reference to reading, but then also talks about satisfactory correlations with state testing. And I think the more common terminology that we use in this situation would be to talk about this being aligned to state academic standards, rather than having a satisfactory correlation and getting into an argument about what was satisfactory and what wasn't, to simply say it's aligned with those.
Thank you.
Those standards. The next change that the department is proposing, page 42, line 13 of the Senate language, there's a sentence that says the assessment must be called a benchmark assessment, and we thought it was unnecessary to put in statute what we would call it, so we just took that sentence out. Our testing people thought it was more appropriate to call this an interim assessment as opposed to a benchmark assessment, and so there are several places in the Senate language, page 42, line 13, 42 line 14, and a couple of other places in the same section where the term benchmark assessment is changed to interim assessment.
Mr. Melcher, I can follow the 42 when I'm having trouble following on the draft where that.
Yeah, I would have been better if we had put numbers, line numbers on this one as well. But
is
if you go to
one?
If you go to B1 in the first line there, you'll see aligned.
Ah, I see.
And that substitutes for satisfactory correlation there. And then if you go down two lines from there where it refers to pupils in grades 9 through 12 may participate, it says interim assessments rather than benchmark assessments. And in the line just below that, again, there's a reference to interim assessments as opposed to benchmark assessments.
Okay. Thank you.
And then on the very last part of item 1, in the same paragraph, in order to provide some additional clarification on progress monitoring, we've added language that includes, at a minimum, these three interim assessments of pupils during the year. I know, as we've talked, there's really a lot more going on than just the three assessments, and our testing folks thought that it would be helpful to add that as an additional clarification, not really intending to change the meaning.
Right. And just one more point on... You know, under B, the fourth line down where the new language begins, note that it's may meet the requirements. So all of this is may, it's not shall. Okay. So it's just putting into language.
Ms. Larson has a question.
Thank you. That's one of the things that strikes me as curious here. You've stricken the existing alternative intervention services that currently exist in statute. You've made this permissive, But what is the alternative? If this is permissive, I'm assuming that you anticipate many interventions. But what you've got here is an outline of only one. How is that supposed to work?
Right now, if you look at the top in A, it talks about the fact that the district must conduct and document at least two instructional strategies, alternatives, or interventions using a system of scientific research-based instruction. Right now, it's my understanding that those interventions or alternatives could be, I called up the parent and said, your child is struggling with reading, or we're going to give them an extra hour of reading in school. There really isn't anything documented. And this again is trying to outline and encourage districts to use this sort of intervention because it is proven so very successful. And it's really, it's allowing districts to do this. It's encouraging them to do this. Would that be correct, Dr. Tulane?
Yes. In the past, because this language has been existing for several years, two instructional strategies and alternatives have been such a wide range of activities without necessarily your scientific research-based intervention involved. And as Senator Salzman's indicated, often it's changing a reading group, moving closer to the front of the room. We see these on individual education plans where the interventions are not of quality. So we're saying you can continue using instructional strategies and alternatives, but this gives you a much better researched alternative with several components because it is the wave of our educational reform and in improved instruction, not only in our state, but nationally.
Then would it also be correct to say, by outlining this, we then also give them some other opportunities that if they use this model, how they can use staff?
Exactly. With that,
and that's why this language is important.
That includes that as well, yes.
We do
so
have
we'll
a
get
question.
To probably that. Yes.
Do on line 42.6, you struck assurance of mastery program. Is there a reason for that?
I believe assurance of mastery has been deleted from the statutes for quite a while. That's old language, is it not? Assurance of mastery programs?
I know that the categorical funding was eliminated a number of years ago. I think the statute might still be there for the program.
But there's no money.
Right. Senator Salzman, I feel compelled to ask this question.
Absolutely, certainly me.
We all know that special education is really expensive and that it's basically, and as the Senate's position has taken, is kind of draining, one of the big drains on the school system in terms of if we could adequately fund it, we would be able to adequately fund our schools in general for all kids. Boy, I just see this as, is this any different than the current system? From the parents you talk to and from the kids in the schools, and that often parents are really frustrated that their kids don't make that mark of special education. And this sort of sets up a couple of, that roadblock even further. So parents feel frustrated that their kids need some help. They can't get them into the system, and they're not sure what to do. Would you see this as a better, you're testing them before you refer them to special education, where right now they could be referred directly, right?
I'm a little disappointed that after all the work that was done in the K-12 committee to, I believe, hear testimony on this and to do a site visit. I feel like I'm here negotiating with someone who has no idea what that was. I'm sorry.
I'm not on the K-12 finance committee.
I will tell you that we cannot afford to have children fail who should not be failing. Mm-hmm. We have found that, and this is not my research, is just that everything I've read, and I can give you bundles of things to read on this, is the success of these early intervention programs. Mm-hmm. And you've sponsored some yourself in Head Start. This is not to compete with Words Work at all. I have to make that very, very clear. But the one thing this does is that what we've done for so many years, and you may have experienced this yourself, I've experienced with, one of my children, with, some of her things when she was very young was, she doesn't qualify yet. She doesn't qualify yet. We'll wait for that child to fail. When Mackenzie was here talking to us for the first day of this committee, I believe, and gave testimony, I think the question was asked, when did you start in special ed? Well, in third grade, I had to wait to fail. Right. I had to wait till I was far enough behind. In this particular model, if we are testing all children going into kindergarten with a simple reading test, and we find those kids who are below the line where they need to be to show success on the third grade reading test, we should start early intervention with them then. It's far less expensive. It's what kids need. We have kids now who are in fourth and fifth grade who just aren't far enough behind to qualify for special ed. And if we don't catch them before second grade, it's going to be so hard for them to catch up. So this is a way for us to say our goal in Minnesota, if we have one goal, if I could pick one thing I wish we could do, I wish we could do really well, say all kids who should be reading and have the, you know, capability to read will read by third grade. And that's using reading programs that we have seen research and research on. And there's many different, it's not one program that we make sure they read. So the parents who are totally supportive of this are those parents whose children who have learning disabilities and reading disabilities. It's not going to, you know, there are going to be kids who are always going to need special ed. So this to me was something that when I heard about over the past year, it's a new way of looking at how we address, we don't wait for kids to fail. And is there work to be done on this? We're trying to do something here that other states are also trying to do, but some of it has just been put into law. And so we're trying to do some things here to encourage our school districts and provide support through the Minnesota Reading Center, which is the other piece of this, is we want districts to do this. Now we're going to provide them with the support they need to train teachers, to help them understand how this works. I had a parent come to me from one of my districts and was complaining about the reading program in her districts and complaining that I wasn't working hard enough on gifted and talented funding. And she pointed to another school district that's in my district and said they've got a great reading program and they've got gifted and talented and they're serving their kids better. And I said, that's really interesting because they're using this RTI model. And they're serving all kids better because they're recognizing where every child is at. And kids who are struggling get the help that they need. And the kids who are on, you know, ready to soar can start working on their skills as well. So this is not a barrier at all. This is not a barrier at all. It's basically taking the speed bump out of waiting for kids to fail.
And it's working with, and also just to say, you know, part of having a House and a Senate is checks and balances. Mm-hmm. We're not here to agree with each other on everything, nor to be experts in everything.
Right.
So just to say, welcome to the legislature. This is part of the system.
Yes.
Is you're not, you can't come in and push something through and expect it to pass. There are going to be questions. And what about Title I and how this works with that? I thought kids were already identified, put in Title I, that type of thing, aren't they?
But I think there's some kids who don't qualify for Title I. These are, you know, what's happening here is we have kids who are being identified. But there's so many kids that when we went up to SCRED and you saw the kids who are not enough to qualify for these services. Perhaps I can have Dr. Chulin address that as well.
Yes, this is all about prevention, as you have mentioned. And many, many times these early intervening services are described as what are called tier models, where at the base everybody gets good scientifically research-based instruction. And for those kids that don't make it on the targets that you were talking about in terms of making progress, they go up a tier to get more support. And that more support might be Title I. It might be a reading program that's different. It might be reading recovery. It might be a variety of interventions that schools and districts have to try something else, so that the kids get support immediate when they fall through on those screening tests. And if progress is not made, they keep going up in intensity, more reading, different reading specialists, other support in the school. After time, if kids do not make progress, that is where we say, now it might be time to look at a special education assessment. But we don't have to wait till third grade for it. We can look at it much earlier. Again, this is about prevention.
Okay. And I would hope the House would be open to looking at programs that are successful in getting kids to read. And the thing, what I'm excited about this is that I started to work on this, is that the business community has come behind the Reading Corps program, which uses this same model, you know, essentially, And I think that when we have so many different groups coming behind an initiative because they see the success of it, I'm not trying to push this because it's some initiatives that I've pulled out of the sky. I'm just so excited this because this is a program that has been a pilot program in, you know, here in the state for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I am, you know, at this point of saying, why have more pilot programs when we have pilot programs that we see work? Mm-hmm. And let's focus on looking at those programs that work. Otherwise, why are we doing more of these pilot programs? Just to have some splashy headline, or are we really going to look at what's working and try to work also with the federal legislation that it that is coming out? So
yeah, and the House is very dedicated to this, and I admire your work. However, you know, we're a little behind the eight ball, and we're trying to understand this, and perhaps what we should do is walk as far as we can by 10:30, and then maybe what I could do, Senator Salzman, is schedule a separate meeting with the department and maybe with some of the people that have been working with you, just to get a better understanding.
I would absolutely encourage that. And that's something where, again, because of this timing, we couldn't have some of those people come in today. I didn't even attempt to bring them in. Absolutely. Okay, please continue.
The next place where the department is suggesting a change is on page 42, line 19 of the Senate bill under item 2, and then you can also see item 2 about halfway down the page on the department draft. We're trying to use consistent language, so we've inserted the word research so that it's scientific research-based instruction. And then we've deleted the reference specifically to reading because we think this involves more than just reading. The next change that the department is suggesting on page 42, line 23, there's a reference specifically to the team being trained in response to intervention methodology. And we thought that was a specific methodology within this broader set of methodologies relating to scientifically research-based instruction and intervention. And so we have suggested changing that terminology to scientific, having the teacher trained in scientific research-based instruction and intervention.
It's consistency.
It's, again, same concept, but we're broadening the concept of training so it's consistent terminology.
And that's a terminology that is in federal regulation and rule. That's why we're using this consistency.
Yes, and we anticipate this similar term also being part of No Child Left Behind reauthorization, so there should be good alignment. Well,
good.
One can hope for good alignment.
Very good. Thank you.
The next change the department is proposing on page 42, line 24, the first sentence in paragraph C we thought was really part of the organizational plan and kind of a separate issue from the funding piece that's just below that. So we've just taken out the C and we've moved that sentence up to be the last sentence in the previous paragraph, and also have changed some of the terminology to align a little bit better with IDEA. The language on page 42, line 25, currently refers to students who are at risk of not meeting standards. The suggested language from the department is pupils who need additional academic and behavioral support to succeed in the general education environment, which I believe is IDEA.
That's part of the early intervening services of IDEA regulations.
Right. So this brings us into, I'm not sure compliance is the word, but, you know, parallel with the federal language.
Yes.
It's, I guess, permits us to do this. Is that correct?
Yes.
And would you explain that a little bit more, either
the early intervening services,
or a little bit about why that's important?
IDEA, in its reauthorization, is allowing early intervening services for the very reasons that you discussed previously. There is concern about supporting prevention and not waiting for children to fail. The President's Commission on Excellence in Special Education in 2004 focused on the growing numbers of students identified as learning disabilities that did not have adequate or appropriate reading instruction early on. Mm-hmm. And early intervening services then is described in our new regulations, and it's, again, about prevention. So we are using language in from early intervening services that talks about students who need additional academic and behavior support to succeed in the general education environment is right out of the IDEA.
Right. And I believe Representative Heidegerken is a strong supporter of this legislation. In fact, he wanted to be the chief author in the House. And since Representative Faust, Scred, is in his district and was very interested as well, that is why he is the one who is the chief author. And I know that there's others who are very, very excited about RTI. And I know RTI, the thing is that RTI is not in the federal language, and that's why we're not using that in this, but it tends to be the model. Response to intervention is what RTI stands for.
Thank you, Senator Saltzman. And I hope we can meet after this and to clarify some things. The wording staff being claimed for state special education to be sort of interesting. It claimed? Maybe that's a financial question. Claimed as in? Can we just explain that?
Representative Slawick, this was language from the original bill, not from the department change, and it is a little different than we've seen before in statute. I think we know what that means. It may be better, maybe we need to do some additional work to clean that up. My understanding would be these are staff who are for whom the district is reporting expenditures as eligible for state special education funding, and perhaps we could tweak that a bit more. That's not one that we
I would like to.
Wasn't a part of a department change. It was something that was in the bill, so we didn't.
Thank you. If we can take a look at that, thank you.
But this brings me to the next kind of issue that we had here, and there was a reference to these staff being claimed and how they would be treated in the program, but we thought there was some clarification needed as to exactly how the funding works for this piece. This is really parallel to the federal early intervening services, which is something that school districts are allowed to use 15% of their federal special education funds for, but it is not considered special education. It is considered an intervention within regular education, and our state rules for special education would prohibit a school district from using its state special education aid currently for this purpose, except under the alternative delivery program, which is a similar sort of a program which is designed to prevent students from needing to be served specifically in special education. And so we did some research in terms of the federal law and what that would allow. There is a provision in federal law which is a permissive use of funds piece, which allows special education staff that are working with special ed students to also provide some incidental benefits to other students in the classroom. But we felt that this sort of an environment was going beyond what most would consider to be an incidental benefit, and therefore it really fits more in the kind of early intervening services model, which are not considered special education. And so to avoid a kind of a maintenance of effort issue with the federal government, we thought it would be important to clarify here that these services would not be eligible for state special education aid except through the alternative delivery program, which is an existing program that is used actually for a similar set of students. But this is maybe a more specific example of that kind of a program. And so what we've said here is, just to spell it out, make it more clear, that this is not eligible for state special education aid unless the district has applied for alternative delivery, and this is part of their alternative delivery plan. And in that case, state special education aid could be used to fund the special education staff that are involved in this program, but it gets identified as a separate cost under the alternative delivery model, and for purposes of maintenance of effort, that does not get reported as a special education expenditure. It gets reported as an early intervening services expenditure.
So perhaps let me explain why that's important. When I went and visited a district doing this model, say that you have four classrooms of second graders, and after doing all of your testing, you break them up into six groups, and you have your four classroom teachers, but you also bring in perhaps a special education teacher, a Title I teacher, and instead of always saying, well, you have to work with this teacher, when all the kids are really grouped and maybe there's one child or two children who don't have an IEP, but based on their reading level, should be in the group that the special education teacher is going to lead. Now, this isn't a permanent group, but based on where they're at on that given day or month after that assessment, that child would be in that particular reading group, And this would allow that child to be in that group, because otherwise there may be questions of why is a special ed teacher working with a child who doesn't have an IEP? And so there's a little bit of movement, but the thing is that after maybe a month or two and there's more assessment and, you know, teachers look at where this child is, the child moves. Or maybe the child who is in special ed maybe moves to be in a group that doesn't have a special education teacher because they've showed progress. So that's why that's important to be able to show in talking about where we under B, number three, an organizational plan that allows teachers, paraprofessionals, and volunteers funded through various funding streams to work as a team by the grade level. Okay. So that's, again, where we're trying to provide some flexibility. And some of this is just confirming it's okay to do this. And so it's not, it's like we're trying to be helpful.
Okay. So Dr. Melcher, would you, does the system here with that team, does that constitute the alternative plan that you were talking about? You seem to be setting forth two ways of achieving a situation where we're not using the monies in ways that is going to compromise our ability to meet the maintenance of effort. So one was sticking to the only using federal funds for those individuals that are involved in this type of activity, or you said that those that have an alternative plan. Could you elaborate on that second one and whether this legislation fits that, what districts would have to go through in order to be recognized as having an alternative plan and then thus having that kind of flexibility?
Yes, Senator Olson and representatives, we have an existing statute, 125A50, that's been in law since 1991, that basically provides for commissioner approval of plans from school districts. And let me just read to you a little bit from that law. The commissioner may approve applications from districts to provide prevention services as an alternative to special education and other compensatory programs. A district with an approved program may provide instruction and services in the regular education classroom or an area learning center to eligible pupils. Pupils eligible to participate are low-performing pupils who, based on documented experience, the professional judgment of the classroom teacher, or a team of licensed professionals, would eventually qualify for special instruction and services under the special education statutes. So there's currently a process in law for school districts to apply for an alternative delivery program. The applications are approved annually, and then those particular staff that are working in this program, and they would be staff that are licensed in special education, who are working with these students who are basically at risk, are then funded through the state special education formula. The money essentially comes off the top of the special education funding. We have $529 million appropriated for special education aid. Under current law, about $2 million of that is being used for alternative delivery services. What we thought would work, we felt that this model would fit within this kind of broader umbrella of alternative delivery and would not require kind of a separate new funding mechanism when we already have one that we think it will work with. What it does is allow some measure of review at the state level of these programs as they come in to make sure that they're consistent with these kinds of criteria. It also allows us to do some separate accounting so that we can keep track of the expenditures for these programs separate from the actual special education services. IDEA does require the states to do some tracking on students that are served through the early intervention program. And this would, I think, align pretty well the state law with the federal law. So a school district might choose to use 15% of its federal special education aid for this kind of a program. It might choose to use some state special education aid through the alternative delivery piece for this program. That's just an example of staff being funded from different sources coming together to try to resolve this issue.
So Madam Chair, if you're chairing, Dr. Melcher, does the language that we have in this revision from the department is in part B, 1, 2, and 3, is that that is aligned, that language is aligned with what you're talking about in terms of in current statute and is in compliance with federal law.
Yes, and then the language in the last paragraph, paragraph C, toward the middle, is where we get more specific as far as how the expenditures would be reported and the fact that the districts would be going through this alternative delivery application. And they might just have this program. They might not have some of the other things that districts have been approved for under alternative delivery. So it could be, you know, a fairly simple, straightforward process, but it allows us to do some tracking on those expenditures so that we don't run into problems with the federal government in terms of reporting something as special education when it's really an early intervention service.
And Madam Chair, and Dr. Melcher, or whoever, how many districts, you said that language went in 1991? How many districts use that alternative plan?
It's my understanding there's about 23 programs or districts right now that
23?
Apply for.
Mm-hmm,
23.
Out of?
340 districts.
And has this been promoted at all, or is it just more work, or what?
Prevention.
It appears, as you can see, it's a direction that we're trying to push to better use the expertise and cross-fertilize, if you will, in order to achieve better results in terms of literacy performance, as well as hopefully diminish the flow somewhat where it may not be necessary ultimately into special ed, where we are having such financial challenges too. What do you think can be done to achieve that kind of goal?
To have more districts participate.
Mm-hmm. Or what's the barrier to it?
Prior to this year, there was nothing in federal law that was comparable that really promoted prevention.
Okay.
And now we have our federal law promoting it. It's the time. This is better timing. And we also requested accountability and evaluation, and we are improving on that request as well. So I think this will better align, and you will have more interest.
Senator Salzman, yes, Senator Olson, I have a question related to that. When you look at, I mean, it looks, you know, very interesting and obviously like a good intervention, and you know, I'm all about early childhood,
right,
which is where you do catch kids is in their young years, and you're right, if they can be reading by grade three. But when you're having these special education staff interacting potentially with a group of both special education and regular students for up to 60 days, I see it says, does that change the you know, these staff tell us how overwhelmed they are, the special ed staff. Are they on board? And are they on board with doing this type of approach? Because it seems like they already have these pretty full workloads, and now you're changing their jobs a little bit to take on both special ed kids and other kids in these reading groups. Have you talked with them about how this is going to work on a practical basis, on a day-to-day basis?
I have. This has the support of the special education administrators. They are strongly behind this. They helped write much of this. They did the first draft, and they did a great job, but we're, you know, trying to tweak that. My understanding is that this is not where we're loading them up with, you know, another classroom of kids at all. It's in very small, you know, particularly in this particular model, it's working on targeted interventions with, you're not taking on a whole classroom of kids, but I think it's really enabling a district who does this model that if from time to time, and again, it's not permanent. It talks here, it's not about permanent settings, but that in a particular, maybe it might be in math or reading, and math I think is still under development, but like, you know, particularly there, where they might have instead of, you know, of the same five kids, two of them or one of them may not have an IEP, but they may have a reading level that maybe they are involved as part of a special education assessment, because RTI can also be used as part of an assessment for referable special education. So I have not heard, I'm sure that with any initiative you do, there are people who are going to be on both sides of this. But I have heard overwhelming support from many of the major stakeholders, including parents, and we've tried to work with the concerns that some of the parents have raised about the language. But overall, I think that if we can do anything we can to make sure that if we can catch some of these problems earlier, they don't become major problems. Maybe we're spending a little more here than we were, but we're saving millions of dollars in higher cost special education costs. I think we heard that when a child is referred and begins to develop an IEP, the cost of their education doubles. This is probably a very small investment, if there is an investment here. It's just really encouraging people to use this particular problem-solving method to address reading.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. I just often hear how these special ed folks are overwhelmed and with all the paperwork involved in IEPs and groups and getting everything done. It's sort of adding something.
This prevents them from having to do a lot of that particular paperwork. There is a problem-solving method here where they are tracking test scores, and they're doing, they're looking at that. But we've heard that teachers who use this model are so excited because they can see within weeks, is this intervention working? And that's what's really important here, is that what we tend to do is we, throw something at a child. Let's try this. Let's try this. Let's try that. Do we ever stop and say, is that intervention working? And after 2 weeks, if it's not, let's try, add something, try something different. Is every teacher going to be able to do this next fall? No, and that's why we have the Reading Center to try to train teachers in this model and support districts who want to do this and expand on it, provide some ongoing coaching. Because, again, it's something that we have seen in research really, really works with kids.
We just have one more item here left toward the bottom on page 42, line 33 in the Senate bill. There's a sentence that says that schools must not establish permanent classes or groups for instruction. And in reviewing this, the department felt that we needed to be more specific. There could be a broad interpretation of what permanent meant. And in reviewing this with our special education staff and some of the response to intervention research, that since this is a kind of a diagnostic tool, not a permanent setting, that the 60 days seem to be appropriate, aligned with other research in this area.
Most of the intervention research has a low of 6 to 7 weeks of progress monitoring and a high of 10, 12, 14 weeks. And so we picked something that was in the middle just to be have something tangible and monitorable.
Thank you. And so if that child continued to struggle, then they might be considered for referral to special education.
Absolutely.
As well.
Or another intervention, mm-hmm. Depending upon what their model looks like and what their organization plan is.
Great. So any questions from anyone else? And thank you so much for all your work on this. I really appreciate what you've done to, be consistent in language that you believe that the department and the state can work with. That's very important. Are there specific issues, Representative Slavik, the big red flags in here that you want us to go into more depth? Because I certainly would love to be able to help you understand how this, mm-hmm. this is so important and successful, I think, to kids in their reading.
Thank you. I think on a basic level, obviously, it's a good idea, mm-hmm. that helping kids get more interventions, better interventions, learning how to read better is really smart. And, mm-hmm. again, what we're working on in early childhood all the time is, mm-hmm. is getting kids up to speed because, as you know, by third grade, if they aren't reading well, they're correlates to things like prison reads. I think that what I should do is meet with the department and, mm-hmm. Potentially just, be interested in the special educators, mm-hmm. like Lori Schulstead work in 622 and so forth, mm-hmm. and just ask some questions about it. And Senator Saltzman, just so you know, that's part of the House,
Absolutely.
Senate process here is we kind of are that check on what's happening and coming up to speed. I will also talk with the author who, Representative Faust, who had not seen all of this. Obviously, he's not seen this part of it, and check that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will do a check with staff. And anytime we put out a bunch of new language, that's kind of a big red flag overall because we think, wow, we've been through weeks of hearings and lots of work, and then there's new language. And however, reality is, it happens, and we know that. So
well,
we just want to make sure we're mm-hmm. we're being thorough about it. One, I need to get to speed, and two, just work with staff on making sure there's no kinks, because sometimes every once in a while, we get this far or farther in the process and find something is not what we thought it was.
Well, if you will see at the top, it's the MDE draft, and it is a work in progress, and the Senate staff I have yet to sit down with them because I pulled it off of my email from you know, the MDE this morning, and I appreciate their work probably over the weekend to get this ready for us for the, you know, today. We've talked a lot about it. And I do believe there's some other people I would like you to talk to as well. And there are people who advise me and people who have worked on this for a number of years and believe very strongly that, you know, Minnesota could be a leader in literacy. And many states, you know, the reason they're not putting this into language is because it takes a lot of time to sit here and work out every word what's important. And I hope that you will appreciate that instead of saying, well, let's just not do this because we can't get the words right, let's work together if we believe this is an important thing and work the words out and make sure that, you know, it's something that we're both comfortable with. If there's concerns, I can, you know, certainly link you to also some of the parents who have been very supportive who just wish desperately that this had been in place for their children.
Right, and I don't think I ever said, let's not do this. We're interested because it's a proposal that's been worked on. We just want to make sure it's workable and bought in and all those types of things. So we that's our job here is to make sure we're putting good things into law. And
so is the House hesitant to change language in anything?
Well, I'll tell you, Senator Saltzman, when we walk into a working group meeting, conference committee April 30th and have new language, it's a red flag.
Well, then
so we would just want to look at it and vet it. But but we very well may and most likely after talking with people will come on board with you. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making sure from the House perspective that it's workable too. But I think your concept is excellent. Mm-hmm. And I very much like to support it. I just need to take a further look
Absolutely.
At it.
Absolutely. Okay.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair and Representative Slavik, the Senator Wieger was responsible, I think, last round of getting language in our statutes regarding literacy and the ability to read at a proficient level at grade level after second grade, and which incorporates the language of the research based and the five elements of that. I don't think we have the implementation of that has happened as fast as many of us would like, and this occupied a lot of discussion in our committee this year of how we could do that, because the key to it is that our regular teachers need to be equipped to teach and use some of these techniques as they are working with all the children in their class. This is a very structured model that incorporates the special ed at this point, which is part of what we were working through this language. But I think there are ways that the investment that is already being required in staff development could go toward helping more of our teachers that are already at the firing lines augment their skills to be more effective in developing literacy. And I really think we have to get on with it. We didn't get anything specific in whether it was requirement or strongly urge in this year, but I think it's something that many of us are concerned about and are going to continue to work on, because I keep hearing it all the time around. Even a couple days ago, I had breakfast with Governor Cui, and this is a topic that came up with him again, is that we aren't – that's our focus should be on getting to literacy by that third grade, when they need those tools to move on. And we should try to get people to focus, even though we have standards in other subject areas. In many cases, those subject areas should be kind of tools that are used with our fundamental basic objective is to achieve that literacy and find the ways that some are having difficulty and work those through as much as we can within the regular classroom, and where we can't, obviously, we have the system of special ed to do it. But I don't think I personally don't feel, from even working with special ed parents who are ones that have inspired me and nudged me to go this way, they said there's no reason why this can't be in the regular classroom. And so with that movement, they're working with the Board of Teaching now, and hopefully there will be other things that we can do to move that. Because if we could, in fact, achieve the objective that Senator Wieger had the vision to put in place, I mean, we really would lead the nation.
So, thank you. Okay. We are done. We have another subcommittee. So I will talk with Rosen Slug about some contact people that I hope you will connect with on this. And if there's anything else we can do, I appreciate you being like allowing us to at least look at this new language, because I think it will be better. And that's why we're a working group, I think, to be able to do that. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Is that a Pike Gherkin here?
Okay.
I think Mindy, I think, could you tell Mindy we're ready? Thanks.
Later.
But now I've been back over here, and I don't know where he is. He must have gone to his office. But we have caucus at noon, and session at 12:30. You can do that, too. And we have the bond bill
right now. And we're going to have
I don't know.
or after adjournment of the last body. For additional details, you look to the web, it'll be posted.
No, Representative Heidi Gerken, who's the chair of the Sacramento 1230. We're going to wait. Yes.